The views expressed on the following program are not necessarily the views of WIBA, its management, sponsors, or staff. In other words, the views expressed on the following program are those of the host. Broadcasting live from Planet Madison, where everything is beyond parody, this is Upfront with Vicki McKenna, the voice of reason in a city of chaos. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll free at 877-235-1310 or email Vicki at WIBA.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
All right, do we have my new favorite political ad? Do we have my new favorite political ad ready to go? All right, 'cause here it is.
Hi, I'm Scott Walker. Did you know that most state workers don't pay anything towards their retirement? Now, people outside of government, they contribute to their own retirement. So I think it's only fair that state workers do too. You know, if everyone paid their share, we'd save taxpayers nearly $180 million a year. As governor, I'll pay for my share of my retirement because everyone should pay their own way, including me. It's kind of like 8 years ago when I found out that the county executive made more than the governor. Since then, I've given back $370,000 of my salary to do my part to rein in spending. I'm Scott Walker, and I'd like to be your next governor. If you want smaller government and lower taxes, join us at brownbagmovement.com. Paid for by friends of Scott Walker, John Hiller, Treasurer.
So, question, Scott Walker, are you checking with a mirror under your car before you get in it?
Yeah, there's a little pushback from some folks out there. Although,
yeah?
I got to tell you, it is, even amongst folks in union households outside of state government, there's people out all across the state saying it's about time somebody stood up and spoke the truth, because everywhere else in life people are making it, you know, paying their own way, getting by in tough times. Why in the world state workers, you know, many of whom are doing great work, doing a good job, good public servants, but, you know, the remarkable thing is when most people hear that the overwhelming majority of state workers don't pay anything, for example, for their pension contribution, they're just blown away. I mean, it's just unheard of.
Well,
the same thing you saw in Milwaukee last week when you had 1,000 teachers there laid off, and most people were blown away to find out that they could have saved those teachers if the school employees had just agreed to pay $25 a month for health care that they don't pay at all right now. People just blown away when they realize the disconnect between what happens in the public sector and government versus what happens everywhere else in society.
And just think about those teachers. So it was about 500 were laid off. Those all, of course, came at the, they were the new teachers, the excited teachers, the motivated teachers, and in many cases, award-winning teachers, because the union wouldn't agree to a $25 a month contribution to their health care benefits. Now, we say $25, you know, a lot of people are paying in the several hundreds of dollars a month. And you're right, the disconnect is massive. And when folks hear that we could save $180 million a year, then if that is just simply changing over a system from defined benefits to defined contributions, when the taxpayers with defined contributions, also known as 401ks, are the ones footing the bill, then they perk up. And even in the Capital Times today, I can't believe this, Mike Ivey even did what I consider to be a pretty good, fair article on the situation with state worker benefits.
A flagrant act of journalism. I mean, it was.
This is like the fourth one in a year for the guy.
Pretty good stuff. Well, it's one of those where you just can't deny it. And the irony is, and again, I can't stress this enough, this is not picking on state workers. The overwhelming majority of people who work in government, just like everybody else out there, is working hard. They're in for the right reasons. They're good public servants. But there's just no way it can continue down this path. And really, if you think about it, things like this, which will save nearly $360 million per budget, are the sorts of things that are pro-worker, because the only alternative to balancing the budget is going down the path of what Jim Doyle has done in the past and what Tom Barrett did in Milwaukee, and that is laying off tons of people, furloughing people. In the case of both Doyle and Barrett, they laid off either correctional officers or police officers. those are the sorts of choices I don't think anybody wants to make. You know, we've held the line without raising property taxes from the previous year in each of our each budgets, and we did it without having to furlough sheriff's deputies, because you make those things a priority, because you do things like wage and benefit reform. That's what keeps people from having to lay off critical workers in public safety and public health.
Yeah, and actually we extracted those kinds of penalties here from our police officers in Dane County. So you're talking about, though, a massive amount of money. This is not nickel and dime stuff. This isn't trying to figure out how to ferret out the fraud in the child shares program. You know, this isn't that, you know, small potato stuff. This is one of the big three things we've got to address. One of the substantial things we've got to address is the cost of benefits for state workers, and that includes teachers. The other things, of course, are the entitlement programs that we have developed here in Wisconsin, Badger Care and the like. And then, of course, it's the AIDS. Well, AIDS are going to solve themselves because the state government can't keep redistributing monies to Milwaukee, to, you know, the places, you know, from the pockets of the folks who have done their budgeting right. The one thing that can't solve itself is necessarily the labor end of this, because that is represented by a very powerful constituency that is very angry with you right now.
Well, it is, but, you know, it's one of those where, again, I'm so serious about this. I've said it's not enough to just talk. Talk is cheap. And so from our standpoint, you know, I've said I'm not just going to wait for the first budget. That's where I'll apply it to all, you know, state workers in terms of our budget proposal. I will start on January 3rd, if God willing, I'm taking the oath of office. That day, I will start making my own personal contribution to cover the governor's employee share of the pension contribution, just like I'm going to be asking every state employee to do. You know, that's over $5,600 a year to cover that, but I think if you're going to ask everybody else to do it, you should show you're that serious you're going to do it even before the budget passes. It's a lot like, and you know, because you followed what happened here 8 years ago, the guy who had the job before me as county executive literally was making more than the governor of the state of Wisconsin. I said, man, that's a lot of money. And so we said, my wife and I talked about it, and we gave back a portion of our salary each year. In fact, over 8 years, that's about $370,000 we've given back directly to the taxpayer to do our part, you know, in helping to balance the budget. We're showing the same kind of leadership here, saying if you're going to lead, you should be up front showing the example yourself. And I think, again, even certainly outside of state government, but I think even for honest state employees, they know we cannot continue down this path. We're heading in the direction of General Motors and Chrysler. We cannot be financially solvent if we don't get things like wages and benefits under control.
Well, and look at the
cost killed them, they're going
to
kill us.
I think again, to Ivy's credit, in the Capital Times at Madison.com, it's there, actually right there up on the front page if you want to read this. I was stunned to see that he brought up the unbelievably optimistic projected rate of return on the investment of the pension funds here. They're estimating an almost 10% rate of return, and we've barely managed half of that in terms of the market. Well, we're the ones that have to pick up the slack for that. We, the taxpayers, have to pick up the slack for the investments going south. And in the meantime, we're expanding the number of people going into this program, making it that much more problematic because we have fewer and fewer people able to pay the bills outside state government. It's not that we don't like state workers. It's that we've allowed people to play with math. And the same thing happened in Milwaukee County, Scott. You can speak to this.
Yep.
Where the rosy predictions about how wonderful things were going to be if only you let the people, you know, the dial twisters manipulate the pension system there. Now you're how many ever $100 million in the hole. And, you know, so letting people play with math and then allowing the din of the political constituency to rise above common sense. And that's what we've had here in Wisconsin for a long time, particularly among most members of the press.
Right. And for years in politics, it was bad enough when it was happening, but, you know, you had 5-7% increases in revenue each year in the late 90s, early 2000s. And so somehow it was able to get by without massive tax increases to fully cover those big increases in spending. Well, we don't have that kind of economy anymore. And, you know, the only thing that good, and I always look for the silver lining in everything, the only thing good that came out of all this is it might be about right time for us to fix the problems that will not only balance the next budget for the next 2 years here in the state government, but will really set us up to be a healthier state budget and in turn a healthier state when it comes to the economy for decades to come, because we have to. Now, I had to laugh the other day when I made this proposal, though. You know, a couple of the reporters were still hung up on the week before in Middleton when Tom Barrett came in and gave his speech to the delegates, and he said, well, he claimed it a substance gap because, you know, we haven't rolled out all at one time all of our plans. Instead, we actually thought, let's be thoughtful and talk about them, you know, one at a time in specific instances like this. And I had to laugh. I said to the reporters, the issue isn't a substance gap. You know, we've got 10 times the substance of the proposals we're going to put out between now and the fall election. The real issue is a credibility gap. In our case, we've done it in arguably the toughest circumstances in the state of Wisconsin. We actually passed wage and benefit reforms in the last budget. We've cut our debt, reduced the size of the government workforce, never proposed a property tax increase from the previous year, and actually had a surplus last year when the state of Wisconsin and Dane County and other governments had deficits. Now, we did all that, and I compare that to Tom Barrett, who's out there talking about putting government on a diet, and yet when he was in the legislature, he voted for the largest tax increase in state history. When he was in the Congress, he voted for the largest tax increase in U.S. history. And every year he's been mayor of Milwaukee, he's proposed budgets that raise taxes and fees from the previous year. In fact, last year was over $20 million. To me, I think most voters got to ask the simple question, if you're pushing for a diet now, where have you been the last 15 or 20 years?
Yeah, how come you've been gorging yourself at the all-you-can-eat, taco
buffet
bar?
There, yeah.
Well,
the taxpayer's buffet, right?
Yeah, precisely. But, you know, the thing is in that you have actually done what your campaigning is now. So, you know, think about Dane County, where we saw our bond rating downgraded. Milwaukee is actually on pace to get your bond rating back up. And that is since you have been county executive there, where you've got other counties that are seeing things slide. In Dane County, for instance, we had a 7.9% property tax increase, and we didn't even have our county board supervisors argue about it. It just was. Nobody asked why. And you actually fought and managed to keep your property tax increase. And this was not something you delivered, but your county board did, at 2%. So,
That's the key part, because if you start, every year I've been in office, I've said no increase from the previous year. Some people say, oh, why don't you give in a little bit? Because if I give in, then the board who adds more, I veto it back down to zero. They veto some, they override some, but not all of my vetoes. In the end, that's what keeps us at a reasonable level. In fact, over 8 years, even with the amounts that the county board's added in, our increase in spending has been below the rate of inflation. In fact, last year, overall spending in our operating budget went down 4.9%. That's because you've just got to be persistent over and over and over again. Make the case that the reason we control spending is because people in their homes and their businesses can't afford to stay here. We've got to have leaders who fundamentally understand it and find viable ways to still provide for core services. That's why, you know, we still have the fastest growing airport in the country, as Mark County runs. We still have eliminated the waiting list for long-term care services for seniors. We still have, as you know, the gold medal for the best park system in the entire country. We did all that without proposing tax increases. You can demand both quality and affordability all in the same time. You do it all the time in the private sector. We should demand the same from government.
You know, let me just, you know, because we're about to run out of time, and so I have a chance to throw some love to my favorite place in the whole city of Milwaukee, and that's the Milwaukee Public Museum. You actually managed to put a guy in charge who turned that museum into a world-class facility under your watch. So
absolutely.
It went from being a place that a lot of people had forgotten about to a place that is a destination. And by the way, folks, coming up this Friday, I've got tickets to the Milwaukee Public Museum and the Wisconsin State Fair. So, make sure you keep it right here if you want your chance to win. But I had to pass along some love because Dan Finley's out and a new guy is going to take his place. But kudos to him and you for recognizing that even with limited budget potential, you can still keep things world-class and make them world-class where they weren't before.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Scott.
Post your questions, scottwalker.org. Join us. We'd love to have people.
All right. Nice chatting with you, and we love the ad. We will take a break. Why do you got to talk down U.S. soccer, Dave? Why do you got to talk down the World Cup? Why do you got to talk down Ghana? I don't get it. Hey, you know, until we're out, we're in it. Okay? Until we're out, we're in it. Coming up, we're going to talk about the story on how teachers need to kick the kids out of school an hour early on Wednesday so that they can powwow and professionally develop themselves. Of course, there's 100 different ways to do this. They picked 101 because it was the easiest way to presumably inconvenience you guys. We'll be right back. right. I absolutely have to bring this up because this is, I think, perfectly emblemic of the situation in Madison and why we can't seem to move the needle with regard to schools. So there's a story this week. It was yesterday at Madison.com, if you want to go read it, that was talking about the school board considering giving teachers 30 to 60 minutes a week on Wednesdays for professional development. So that would be at the expense of students, 30 to 60 minutes a week, which would mean that parents would have to adjust their schedules to accommodate either 30 or 60 minutes a week for professional development. And the complaints are obvious, right? Well, you're going to inconvenience everybody so that you can have one day. Why not spread 30 minutes out over 5 days or 60 minutes out over 5 days, and you're going to lessen the impact and blah, blah, blah. And then some people were saying, like I was saying, professional development for what? And the moment those comments were made is the moment the typical groupthink piles on. Wow, you just don't know how hard it is. You just don't know how hard it is to teach. Well, you know what? It's been as hard today, and it's going to be as hard tomorrow as it was 20 years ago. So give me a break. So now we're potentially offloading 90 or more hours of education time for students per year over the 9-month school year for professional development. So my question is, and why didn't anybody ask this? What are we going to get in return for that? What kind of improvements are we going to... I mean, I want articulated improvements. Because if I at my company say that this is the kind of accommodation I need for a purpose of improving the product on the air or whatever that might be, my company is going to say, really, Vicky, how? And let's negotiate, because if I don't buy your how, then you're not going to be able to get what you want in terms of accommodating your needs. And in fact, most companies don't even give you the option of sitting down and saying, I'm going to need some time for myself to improve myself through professional development to improve my service and my employment to you. We only hear that when it's the state employees. We only hear that when it's teachers. We never are allowed to just put our fist down and say, not this time. Come on. Heidi, welcome to the program.
Hi. Well, you know, I agree completely. You know, I finished my MBA on my own time. My employer didn't pay for it. My employer gave me time for it. I've got kids. I've got a household. I did my work between 8 and midnight. You know, it took me a little longer, but I got it done. And, I mean, professional development is on the person who wants it, not on the person who's paying you.
I agree. Now, that's another thing. If I want to go to talk radio school, you know, and in radio, believe it or not, there's all kinds of conferences you can go to. They're for afternoon hosts and morning show people, and you can go do these things, but on your own dime.
Right.
You want to make money, more money in the future in my business, you do this stuff on your own time, on your own dime. And this is the world we live in, right, Heidi? We live in this world.
Well, exactly. And, I would love to have had somebody pay for my education and pay my time while I went, because, you know, it's a hefty student loan to be paying off.
So enough is the point here. So enough.
Exactly.
And if you can't tell us why this 30 to 60 minutes on Wednesdays requires everybody rejiggering their schedule for you, what kind of improvements are we going to see? Then I don't see the purpose of even having this conversation.
Well, and they already get Monday afternoons off, which I thought was for
I think that's only elementary schools. This is going to be middle schools and high schools now. So, come on.
Okay, my bad.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it. No, don't feel bad, because that's another thing, is that somebody will call up and say, well, it already happens on Mondays for elementary school, and you just people don't like teachers. No, yeah, we despise education. That's why we complain about this stuff. We despise education. That's why we continually rack the Wisconsin Knowledge and Concept test scores for the Madison School District. It is not about whether we appreciate education or don't appreciate education. It's about, for instance, back in May when Dave was attending one of the initial budget hearings for the Madison School Board, and board member Marge Passman was complaining that some of the board members wanted to cut $1,000 that was used to buy cakes and cupcakes and baked goods for the teachers to say thank you. Your thank you is the paycheck. I mean, it's everything on top of everything. And then the moment you complain, you just don't care about education, you Neanderthals. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vicki, how are you doing?
Good.
That's good. You know, just dovetailing off of Heidi's point there, and I don't know specifically what they are referring to, you know, when they're talking about professional development, but I happen to know that Madison Metropolitan School District has a pay grid that the teachers are paid off of, and as I recall, it is based on years of service on one axis and level of education completed on the other axis. So if this is, you know, meant to allow them to, you know, study for their master's or something like that, they are actually then looking to increase their pay. It's not just a matter of, you know, taking time out of the classroom to develop. It's taking time out of the classroom to get a raise.
Okay, I don't know if that's true. I was about to say, I actually think it's probably for some other purpose, but I don't know because they don't tell you these things.
Right, like
you're supposed to trust that professional development means something specific. When we ask for specifics, we're told that we just don't understand how hard it is.
And, you know, in my line of work, I have a certain amount of continuing education credits I need to get every year. I'm not paid for that time.
Oh, and you're required to do that as a condition of your employment?
Exactly.
So is my brother, by the way. He's required to go on and continue to get advanced certifications or whatever on his own time, on his own dime.
Exactly.
it's the deal you make here. So when we say these kinds of things, and we it's not that we don't like teachers. It's not that we don't like education. In fact, I have complained about trying to, you know, actually get real reforms in education to improve outcomes. So don't tell me I don't care about education. That's absolute nonsense. It's this kind of stuff where we are always told, you just don't know how hard it is. You want to know how people respond to you don't know how hard it is when it's somebody who's complaining that they need to deny children access to education so that they can professionally develop. And maybe that is important. I don't know. But you know what? You don't simply punish children. That's why we pay you, by the way, so that the kids actually get a good education for your own professional development. You want to develop professionally. You want to increase your pay scale. You want to go and improve your educational achievements. You want to go get certification on your own time, on your own dime. All right, on your own time, on your own dime. And notice I have not made the 9-month argument. All right, I haven't gone there because I don't have to. This should be something that is patently obvious. We got to stop when our school board itself will argue that cutting $1,000 from a completely extraneous expense like cupcakes to say thank you to the employees is a bridge too far, then everything's a bridge too far. When $1,000 for cake is a bridge too far, everything's a bridge too far. Bob, hi.
What did Marie Antoinette say about cake?
Something about let them eat it.
Yes.
They have no bread? Well, let them eat cake.
Of course. The reason I was calling is when I went to high school, the teachers all had a loose-leaf, three-ring binder, and they read the same thing year after year because there was no change in U.S. history, 1776 to 1865. Geometry doesn't change. 99% of the classes you take are the same year after year.
I don't know. I can't explain professional development. Maybe they can make an argument for me, but you're making a good point here because I was thinking the same thing.
I live next to a grade school, and the last week they take the children out for walks because they got to have professional development walks. The average group of them was 18 kids. I went to a Catholic school, grade school in the 60s. Our average class size was 50, and the only difference is the nuns had discipline. Somebody goofed off, kicked up a fuss. The threat was they were going to send them to public school.
I don't think I was in a class until my senior year, advanced placement classes where I had less than 20. Most of the time it was 25 students in a class. Yeah, I mean, this is there's an awful lot of myth-making that goes on about what we must do and what must happen. And because people do naturally trust teachers, they are inclined to go along with a whole bunch of stuff. But you know what? When something is obvious is saying, no, you're not going to make us adjust all of our schedules so that you can have 30 to 60 minutes on a Wednesday. No. If you want that 30 to 60 minutes, you're going to come early one day, you're going to leave late one day, and if that's important enough to you, you're willing to do that, we'll knock off 6 minutes or 12 minutes from the days over the course of an entire week. And by the way, along with that development, we expect to see results. So what would those be? What kind of improvements can we see in outcomes? Because in the end, really, outcomes matter in education. So we'll come right back here and get some more phone calls in just a second. And, you know, feel free to say I don't like teachers, but I'll tell you what, the most influential people in my life, besides my parents, were four extraordinary teachers in public schools that I had growing up. And I'll tell you one thing they didn't do, this. We'll be right back. To the calls? Brad, can you make your point in 20 seconds?
This is Brad.
Okay, I don't think you can. I gotta go. I'm out of time. We'll be right back. Thank you, Dick. Yesterday, Brian Schimming and I were talking about the report on the death of Dwight Armstrong, Sterling Hall bomber. And we said, openly wondered how long it would take before we were going to put Sterling Hall into perspective again. To you know, denounce the murder, but be very disappointed that ultimately it ended something so good, and it was really done not with the worst of intentions, but with the best of intentions, and it took exactly 24 hours to do that. We will talk about that on tomorrow's program. Putting murder into perspective. Cool. We'll be... Well, no, actually, we won't be back. We're out of time. Have a good one. See you tomorrow.